Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trueblood. With me today is John Paul Basham.
Hey.
And today, we are going to talk about the five principles of event planning. So events are a part of student ministry all over the place. They play an important part in ministry. And so we want to help you out today by giving you five principles to think through as you plan your next event. But before we get there, I want to encourage you to, if you like the podcast, if you enjoy what we're doing here, please look us up on iTunes and leave a positive rating and review. That will help other people find the podcast, and it will also help us know if we are helping you as you lead in student ministry. Remember that our hope is to provide you with content so that you can lead well in your student ministry regardless of the context. So thanks for joining us today. So let's dive right in to the five principles of event planning. The first one is communication. Communication is an important part of any ministry, whether it be events or leading a group of volunteers or leading a staff team or communicating with your pastor or the parents of a ministry. You need to be a great communicator if you're going to be an effective student ministry leader. And by communicator, I don't mean preaching at this point. I mean communicator of vision, communicator of details, communicator of processes. Those kinds of things are essential if you're going to be an effective student ministry leader. And so in relationship, again, today we're just talking about events. So let's focus in on that. The first principle of event planning is communication. John Paul, how does this play into planning an event?
Well, Ben, I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited about this episode. And I'll just kind of let you know up front. These are all important aspects of planning an event. We are going to take a comical approach a little bit to this, and we are going to reveal to you some of the black eyes of our ministry together, which we can now look back and say that was hilarious.
Yeah, comical approach in that, like, it's stuff that we did that was really stupid over the years.
Yeah. That I think both of us said in the midst of it, what happened?
And there are going to be those moments. I think anybody that has served in student ministry, this may be just me trying to make myself feel better about the things that we are going to talk about. But I think if you serve in student ministry for any amount of time, there are going to be those moments that you look back on and go, what were you thinking? Like, how was that a good idea? And so hopefully from our mistakes today, you'll find out and learn why these five things are critical for effective event planning.
Yeah. So along the lines of communication, if you are not communicating well, let's talk specifically about our volunteers. If you're not communicating well to your volunteers what the expectation is for the event, there is no telling what result you're going to get in the end from your volunteers. And you can't say, and I think a lot of us would like to say, that person is an idiot. Like, how did they think that was a good idea?
Yeah.
But you've got to point the finger at yourself first. If you haven't done the work, you know, when you say, you guys know what to do, you know, just go do it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
There's no telling what you're going to get. And then sometimes the problem is that you know exactly what you want to do. And you enlist a volunteer to fill that role.
Right.
In your excitement, you forget to tell them exactly what their role is.
Right. And that's a key point. So when you communicate about your event, it's going to take more than you to pull off whatever event it is. So again, the principle here is to communicate the role to the people that you are recruiting to help you pull off this event. Make sure they know the details. Make sure they know exactly what they're supposed to do, how long they're supposed to do it. Don't leave anything up for question. Even if this person has been a volunteer in student ministry since before you arrived to the church, you need to communicate in detail written form even what exactly the job description is for the role that they're filling.
Yeah, and I mean, and this goes for anyone. I mean, I served with a senior pastor one time that decided to do a whole church series on a certain topic, and I'll be very vague with this. But it was he and his wife that are doing this series. And the first night, it's this big deal. I mean, we're videoing the whole thing. There's a huge set. There's all kinds of people that have donated their time and their money to really make this thing go off. And the first confession from the pastor as he steps on the stage is, well, guys, my wife found out that this was an 8-week series right before we walked on stage. I was sure that I had communicated this. And he said, you know, my lead team knows this, and the production team knows this. My wife just found out, so we'll see how this goes tonight.
That is awesome.
And she was an absolute champ, and they made a big joke out of it. But it is not a joke. Ben and I have an example of one time Ben had – it was an incredible idea, and it played out very well because we had two guys that had great attitudes about it. Could have gone dramatically the other direction.
Yeah,
had
for
it
sure.
Not been those guys. But we decided to do a sermon series that came with a little game called Gladiators.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with the old school TV show American Gladiator, it had kind of a resurgence there for about a month and a half several years ago, and this is where this came from. So picture that in your mind. The joust was the event that we did.
Right.
So two pedestals, two guys on the pedestals with the pugil sticks and the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you remembered pugil stick.
Pugil stick.
I would have not. I was thinking Q-tip.
Yeah. Well, that
to try to give the picture.
Right.
But when you can pull out pugil stick,
why not use it?
Yeah. I think that's worth a 5-star review. It's just my opinion.
That's right.
The other thing I would say to you is that you need to find a way to use the word or the term pugil stick today at some point. That's
yep.
That's your challenge.
That's
your,
the podcast challenge for today.
Your takeaway. So I'm going to have to say you have to mix this. I want you to envision in your mind Ultimate Gladiator with Nacho Libre.
Right.
Because it was very much a mix of those two. We decided we had these two, and I'm telling you, if you guys are listening, you are still two of the absolute all-star, top-notch, cream of the crop volunteers that we have ever had. I mean, ever had.
In any church that I've served in, these guys were some of the best, and here's why. We came to them and said, we've got this idea. I think we said sermon series. Maybe we didn't, but we have this idea for this competition. And they were the illustration, and so we had costumes made. Out of spandex. So we put these 45, 50-year-old men in full spandex.
Uh-huh. And they would not have made it onto the American Gladiator show. Let's just...
No.
You know, hearts. The heart of a gladiator, yes. Body and build, not so much.
Not so much. And so we gave them... they were El Guapo and the Doppelganger. And they were to battle each other as well as students for the illustration of what we were doing for this sermon series. And I was out front on the stage talking about what we were doing and kind of getting the group excited and hyped and building up the illustration.
Yeah, picture it. I mean, the room is dark. We've got the lights on the stage. We have some smoke machines off in the corners that are hidden. And so smoke is coming out from under these barriers. I mean, we are setting the stage. I mean, it looks as much like American Gladiator as we could make it look in a student ministry context.
Yeah, which a side note here that would fit in is there's no way we could have pulled this off by ourselves. And so we had people that were gifted and talented, construction guys in the church and all of those kinds of things. And so we recruited, we knew what we needed to pull off, and we recruited those people. And those people are in your churches. You have people that are gifted in your churches right now that can help you pull off things that you might not think are possible. So use the gifts and talents of the people in your church to help you do some cool stuff. And so here we are, and they're about to come out, and I'm communicating under the principle here of communication. I'm communicating to the crowd what they can expect over the next 5 weeks, and John Paul is behind the curtain with the doppelganger and El Guapo, and
trying to get them fired up and just, you know, like, guys, I just need you to go out and just, you know, put the face on and just, you know, challenging kids. You come up, I challenge you. You know, I'm trying to set them
in
here.
Yeah, WWF style, WWE now, I suppose. Uh-huh. And one of the guys, I believe it was El Guapo. I forget which one was which at this point. Right as he's about, like, I'm introducing him, and he looks at John Paul and says, "This is a series?" And so he thought that all he had to do was give one night to the spandex, but found out that it was going to be 5 weeks in a row.
And y'all, the look on both of their faces, because this is embarrassing. I don't want to be in head to toe spandex, and not just that, with a cape and a mask.
And a pugil stick.
And it's not like you can kind of hide, you know, okay, I'm in spandex, but half the crowd can't see me because of the front row. No, you're up on a pedestal.
and that's why we say they're some of the best youth workers we've – and they didn't leave the student ministry after this. So
Right. They
were very forgiving. And so that, again, communicate the expectations up front – with what you want your leaders to do and the job description. The other side of that is, though, if it was communicated up front better, they may have said no.
This is true.
And then we
in which case you and I would have been in spandex head to toe.
Yeah. Which nobody
wants to see.
Nobody wants to see that either. So principle number one for event planning is communication. You must communicate well. Communicate strategy, communicate vision, communicate job descriptions, communicate the end result that you're hoping for in the event. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Really, I think more than anything else in a student pastor, student ministry leader's role, being able to communicate direction and leadership and strategy, communicating those things really is what sets apart the great student pastors from the rest.
And two things there, early and often.
Yeah.
So as you're planning your event, you don't need to communicate, hey, tonight we're doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Give them the plan ahead of time.
This needs to be, hey, I'm looking at doing this. These will be my expectations of you. This is how I need you to prepare for this.
Yeah.
Opportunity for feedback and all that. And then next week you say, this is what I'm looking at doing. This is how I need you to prepare for this. Because we know that you got to say things multiple times for that to sink in. People are busy. They have a lot on their plate. And priority number one may not be dressing up in spandex for your student event.
Yeah. But if it can be, that you should do that this week. The next principle of event planning. So we have communication. Then we have delegation. Let me give a caution here. You can delegate too much. Okay. So delegation doesn't mean just giving all the work to other people so you can do nothing.
Give it away.
Little Red Hot Chili Peppers. I like it. So delegation does not mean just getting everything off your plate so you can do nothing. Delegation is strategically giving away things that you are not gifted or skilled at to people that are better than you in those areas. So that takes you evaluating yourself and saying, okay, what can I accomplish that's going to meet the goals of this event? And you holding on to those things and doing those things well. But then also the question saying, what can I give away that I'm not as good at so that I can hit a home run with the things that I am good at. Because as I travel, and John Paul, you've seen the same thing, as we go around and speak and consult at student ministries all over the country, what I've seen consistently is student ministry leaders, the student pastor, doing way too much. And it takes them away from being able to really excel at the things that they're good at. So anytime and there have been times that we've done what I'm about to say, but anytime I see a student pastor behind the soundboard, I think that's somebody that needs to like, unless you went to Full Sail and you learned sound engineering, and the only way that your Wednesday night is going to sound great is if you do it. And for a while, you weren't educated that way. But for a while, the only way that our Wednesday night would sound good is if you ran sound. And so we had to fill that gap until others were trained. But anytime I see that, I think, okay, here's an example of a student pastor or student ministry leader that needs to delegate some things so that they can hit a home run in what they're great at.
Yeah.
And so we see this all the time, is that a student pastor is doing some things that they need to delegate so that the event meets the goals and they can excel at what they're supposed to excel at. And for you, that your background might be in sound engineering or audio engineering. And if that's the case, then by all means, engineer the audio, but you get the idea. Another example, John Paul and I are not graphic designers. And so
we found out.
We found out. And so one of the first t-shirts that we made at the church we served at together in Virginia, we said, man, how hard could it be to design a t-shirt? It can't be that hard. And so we bought Photoshop.
Uh-huh.
And we started playing around with it.
And by that we mean I went to the one of the guys, what was his title? He's not the executive pastor. Anyway, he's in charge of the money at the church.
Yeah, the financier.
Can I please have Photoshop? Can I please have Photoshop on my computer? I'd really love to have Photoshop. And finally it's like, oh my goodness, shut up. You can have some Photoshop.
Yeah, which is not a principle of event planning, but something. Sometimes the squeaky wheel does indeed get the grease.
Mm-hmm. I got a little too much grease.
so we got Photoshop. We had it installed on John Paul's computer, and we started just playing around. I think you may have bought like Photoshop for Dummies or one of these books that like
the
teaches
Photoshop
you.
Bible.
The Photoshop Bible is what was purchased,
which is over 1,000 pages that I never read.
And so that like we thought, how hard could this be? We're somewhat intelligent people. We can design a t-shirt. And so we did, and we ordered a lot of these t-shirts and had them show up at the church. And I still to this day think that it looked so much better on the computer screen than what it did when we opened the box. I mean, we blamed the t-shirt guy for like a long time. We tried to find every excuse possible, but we finally came to the realization that we're not graphic designers. And anytime we try to make something look cool or good, it's not going to, because that's not our strength. And how did the pastor describe this? Is so from the senior pastor, this is what he said about that t-shirt. His boys were in the student ministry, so like they came home with these shirts.
Right. And this was a very low moment for me as a young student pastor in this church. Pastor met us in the hallway, is, you know, one of those chance meetings. We meet him in the hallway, and he's holding one of those t-shirts. And he said, guys, it looks like somebody had diarrhea all over this t-shirt, and you gave it to all of our students.
That is 100% true.
And there was no chuckling on his part.
No. And he just looked at us, head cocked to the side a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, so he just, you know, he just laid it out there. He said, you guys need to let somebody else do the t-shirts.
Yeah, and we said, yes,
sir.
We do. That's it. So, man, know your strengths, know the role that you need to play, and delegate the rest. Don't delegate everything, but delegate the things that you need to delegate in order for the ministry to be successful in the event that you're planning.
Well, and there are so many things that you can think about along the lines of delegation, because, you know, part of that is, when do I delegate? And some of you may have heard the rule, if somebody can do it 75% as good as you can, If your plate's full, you need to give it away.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, a lot of times delegation gives someone else an opportunity to serve in a way that they've been gifted or called to serve.
Yeah.
So I think about some students that, you know, said, hey, I really love sound. I really love lights. You know, I had a sophomore in high school that just decided I'm going to sit down and read the whole manual to the light board in the student center. And he read the whole manual, learned everything about that light console, got online, learned everything about that brand of light consoles. And in a few months, the production director at our church said, William knows more about our light consoles than anybody else that I've hired on staff to know about our light consoles. And this kid ate it up. He loved it.
Yeah.
Had I not delegated that and given that student an opportunity to do that, he would not have been able to serve in a place that he found great joy in.
Yeah. So it's not only delegation so that you can hit a home run as the leader in what only you can do at that event, but it's also giving the people in your church and in your student ministry an opportunity to use the gifts that God has given them. And so when we refuse to delegate, really, at some level, we're robbing people of the joy of serving in ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 is really, really clear. We are to train the saints for the work of the ministry. And that's a perfect example of the sound of the lighting guy, learning something, taking an interest in it, and being able to do that and do it really, really well and exciting. And it plugs a kid in that may not have plugged in any other way.
Yeah.
So make sure it's not just for you, it's for them being successful and fulfilled in ministry too. I love that. The next principle, so we have communication, we have delegation, and the next principle in event planning is organization. Simply put, be organized. If you are not gifted in organization and planning and charting out process, then you need to bring somebody alongside of you that is gifted in those things. Don't think that, man, I've got to prove my administrative ability through this if that's not your gift mix. It takes more maturity to realize that that may not be your gifting and to find somebody and delegate to them the administrative aspects of the event than just trying to power through and prove that you can do something. Leaders lead people, and sometimes great leaders, again, just to this one links so closely with delegation, great leaders know what they're not good at and find people that can do it. And so when we talk about organization, you need to be organized in the things that you are putting on. So for a disciple now, for instance, be very organized in how travel takes place and transportation between your host homes and the church. For those of you that don't know what a disciple now is, it's where groups stay in host homes for a Friday and Saturday night. They have services at the church, worship services, small group Bible studies take place in the host homes usually. And sometimes people would have service projects or recreation or something for all the students to do on the Saturday afternoon. But there are a lot of details with a disciple now or some time of weekend retreat or a conference that need to be organized. You need to have drivers for the transportation or a driver. You need to have the volunteers recruited. You need to know where you're going. There are a lot of details that need, and every event is different, and there are details that need to take place in every event. But something that we learned, again, in a difficult way, is that not only do you need to think through and organize the things that you're in control of, but some of you do disciple nows and weekend retreats and things as a part of a network of churches in your area. You have, you know, 5, 6, 10 churches that come together and you do an event together. Well, not only do you need to think through the organization on your end, but you also need to make sure and think through the organization of what other people are providing so that you know something is taken care of. For instance, if you do a regional weekend retreat or disciple now, and you're not responsible for the worship band or the preacher that's going to come in, you still need to follow up and ask and make sure that you know who it is so that you can tell your students that you know who's coming in, when they're coming in, that it's been done. I wouldn't leave any detail just up in the air and say, well, this person's taking care of that, so we don't need to worry about it. And the reason I wouldn't do that is because I've left details up to other people that were promising and they didn't follow through.
So I think you should tell the story about the Towers mission trip.
So one of the things that we always did for our Disciple Now weekend is we would do mission projects in the community during the Saturday of Disciple Now. We were personally, and John Paul agrees, we really believe strongly in mobilizing students to serve in the community at every opportunity that we had. And one of those opportunities was through Disciple Now. There's something really special that happens when a group of students get to serve together. It breaks down barriers like nothing else. And so if you're not involved, just as a sidebar, if you're not involved in giving your students opportunities to be on mission together, that's a really, really important part of having a healthy student ministry. So at one point, we are doing a mission project at this area called the Towers, and we talked to the facilities guy on site. His name was Owen. And so we had met with Owen a couple times, and this guy was a character. Man, he was awesome.
We love Owen.
Owen's the man. And we had talked to him, and one of the things that they needed done was to paint both inside the building, handrails for the staircases, some walls. They needed to paint those, as well as paint yellow on the curbs outside so that people would know where to park and where not to park. They were having a problem with it. Well, the paint was worn off, all that stuff. And so he said that he would be providing the paint brushes. And you can already see where this one's going. And so Owen, we show up with a couple of groups of students.
Buses full. When we're talking about a couple of groups of students, I don't mean Ben rolled up in his car and I rolled up in mine and we piled out 10 of us. Buses, plural, full of students, eager to all come together for the kingdom work of the Lord in this one location. We had a project to do.
Yeah, and there was a ton of work that they needed done.
This is a huge complex.
Yeah, there were maybe 500-600 people that lived, maybe more. I don't know how many people lived, but it was two tall apartment buildings. And there was a ton of work to do, and we were super excited about what we were going to be able to accomplish in serving our community that day.
And did the pre-trip and everything. I mean, we had done – I mean,
we were organized.
Yeah. We showed up. We spoke with Owen. We spoke with Owen's team.
Yeah.
Went through every part of it. Where do you need landscaping? What walls do you need? They needed some walls washed. We won't talk about why. They needed the rails painted, the curbs painted, you know, all of this stuff. We had walked through and made a very detailed plan. I was proud of us. I felt like this is covered.
We had it lined
out. There's no way that this isn't a home run, we thought.
And we pull up, and Owen was providing the brushes. And he had some brushes. But all of the brushes went, most of the brushes went to the inside crews.
Uh-huh.
And so they had brushes to paint the walls. They had brushes to paint the stairwells, which happened to be completely enclosed stairwells where they were painting. So,
right. Against policy to leave the doors open.
Yeah, you can't leave the doors open. So we had kids that were fumed with paint. I mean, it was like we had to instill a rotation policy on site so they weren't all high.
After the first couple of kids came out kind of dizzy and saying, it really is kind of strong in there.
That's when we made a decision on the ground. But so that left none of the people outside with brushes to paint the curbs. And neither of us were there. We were at other places when they got there to start. Like, we were taking care of other details, visiting other sites. We were doing whatever we were doing. But remember, we're getting the phone call and Owen that called, or one of our leaders?
I think that it was one of our leaders who had had a conversation with Owen.
Yeah, so basically what ended up happening, John Paul and I raced over there, and when we pulled up, there were groups of students dipping their hands in yellow paint buckets.
5-gallon buckets.
and rubbing their hands all over the concrete curbs. Just having a blast.
Slash each other.
I mean, they thought it was the best project of all time.
Grass painted, curbs painted, road painted, median painted, faces, butts, shirts, everything painted. Everything was yellow. Big Bird threw up on the towers that day.
All yellow. And Owen approached us and said, "Hey, your kids are getting paint on the road." And just the way he said it and the way he approached it, and there he was standing with white bread and a rib sandwich, just as nonchalantly as he could, talking about how there was yellow paint everywhere. It was a sight I'll never forget.
It was amazing.
And so that's...
It's still like that, by the way. There hasn't been... I guess it's probably difficult to clean up all that paint off the road.
30 gallons of paint all over the road. And so here... Owen was to provide paintbrushes, but we didn't follow up and say, how many paintbrushes do you need us to buy? We would have bought extra... It didn't matter. We would have taken care of that. But we just didn't take the extra step to go and say, okay, you're providing paintbrushes. How many does that mean? What will we need to do? So organize very, very well. We've got two more and we'll hit them quickly. Five principles of event planning: communication, delegation, organization. And I'll say this one quickly and we'll move on. Contextualization. The point here is this: just because it works somewhere else doesn't mean it will work for you in your context with your students. It's really important to think through those things as you plan an event. Did you see it somewhere else and get super excited about it and think, man, that'll be so much fun for my students, without really taking the step and saying, are my students going to like that? Is that something that they can do, that they will enjoy doing? Is that something that fits in our context? If you don't have a lot of outdoorsy kind of students, then maybe the recreation game where you run through the woods and make people get all dirty in that environment is the thing that they need to do, that they'll enjoy. Dodgeball is something that is really, really popular in student ministry right now. It works and is good in a lot of places, but just because it's great somewhere else doesn't mean it will be great for you. So as you plan an event, think through the contextualization of it. So we have communication, delegation, organization, contextualization, and that's where the shun endings will end, because the last one that we want to talk about is the vision of the event.
Visualization.
Help your team, student, and by team, I mean the students in your ministry, I mean the volunteers that you bring alongside you to make this event happen. Make sure that they catch the vision of the event. This is the most important thing. You can hit a home run on communicating and delegating and organizing and doing all of those things, but if you don't help your students and your leaders and your pastor, if you don't help them see where you're trying to go, how you're going to get there, and what the purpose of the event is, then it's not going to be effective. Don't just do an event for the sake of doing an event. Make sure it fits in what you want to accomplish for your ministry.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, to think through as you're visualizing what that is and communicating it to your leaders, delegating those responsibilities, making sure that everything is organized, just making sure that as you visualize what is going to happen in that event, at that environment, you also need to be thinking through a vision of kingdom-minded ministry. So it's like Ben said, don't just have an event to have an event. The one example I would give you is an event that we did called Super Summer. I know, super creative title.
Yes.
We've never been title guys.
No. So, hence Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Nice and easy.
Yeah.
So Super Summer. Every year it was the largest event that we held for Liberty students. And every year we would tell the students, this event is not for you. We would tell the leaders in communicating with them, this event is not for our kids. We had record numbers every year at this event. there were, you know, if you just looked at the event at face value, you would say, and a lot of people did, those student guys are putting on a great event for our kids because all of our kids were involved.
And they had a blast.
Everybody came to Super Summer. But the point was that there was a competition going on at Super Summer for who could bring the most first-time guests. And every time we brought in a speaker, we were very clear with the speaker. When you come to our event, we want you to give all three nights of this event three of the most compelling, creative presentations of the gospel that you could possibly give. You can preach from any book of the Bible. You can use any text that you want to. You can come at it from any angle that you want to. But we want you to preach the gospel because we're going to fill the room with lost kids.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we gave away big prizes. But the big prizes went to the person who brought the most first-time guests. And what we would hammer is, don't just bring a student from another church that, you know, oh, I go to their Bible study on Thursday night at their house that's from their church. That's not who we're targeting. We're targeting the lost friends that you have. And so, you know, there's always the question of, well, you've heard the statement, what you win them with, you win them to. We did give away big prizes, but the prize went to the person who was the most focused on bringing lost friends and in high volume. Yeah. And so the vision was, we're going to reach Hampton Roads with the gospel. And we're going to do it through you, students. This is your student ministry. This is your mission. These are your friends. And this event is exactly for that. Your friends to come to know Jesus.
Yeah, and it's language is really important there. So while we wouldn't say it's for them, we would say it's their event. Because they're the one that it's almost like they're hosting their friends for this event. And so you heard John Paul articulate exactly the vision of that event that we had year after year after year. And it was extremely successful. And I think the key to the success of that event was that everyone involved knew the vision. They knew why we were doing it. They knew what the purpose of the prizes was. They knew what we would tell the speaker when we would bring someone in. They knew why we were doing it. And if you're, this goes back to communication too. So someone being able to clearly communicate the vision of the event is so important if you're going to be effective in that event. And so for us, we did this specific event over the course of three nights. The first night we did it, like John Paul said, we did an invitation every single night, opportunity for people to respond to the gospel. There is a follow-up plan in place for people who did respond so that we could try to plug them into the ministry, which is something that if you're going to be truly concerned about people giving their lives to Jesus through an event, you will have a process in place that tries to catch them on the back end of that decision. Think through those things, organize the follow-up process. And so we would do three nights. We did a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the big night was always Wednesday. Monday, we did competitions. They would earn points. All of the students that came would be split up onto teams by color. So pink team, brown team, white team, orange team, polka dot team, camo team. As you have more students, the colors become more and more creative. And so you have to open the Crayola box and do that. But they dress up. And this was, again, this happened because our students embraced this event because they caught the vision. And so the pink team would be pink clothes from head to toe, face paint, signs for their, it was like a huge party. And then they would compete in games against each other. So Monday night was usually like water games or some kind of multiple games throughout. They'd play four or five games. We'd have the message, all those kinds of things. Night number two was probably my favorite night of all. It was a relay race.
Get ready for this.
Where the star of the relay race was the baton that the students had to carry throughout the entire race. It was 10 or 11 stages long. the baton.
18. 18 stations.
We had people like on the verge of throwing up at the end of this thing. It was a grueling.
One mile long course yeah. around the property. We had 53 acres
yeah.
to work with, and we used them.
Yeah, and we zigzagged them around all over the place. And so the hot dog was used as the baton, and we called the event the Wiener-thon.
Yes, we did.
And
this
so
is
it,
not a joke.
It was amazing. And again, everybody embraced it because they caught the vision of it. And so you haven't lived until you've seen a student dive into a baby pool with 75 pounds of wet spaghetti noodles and dig around for the hot dog that they would carry throughout the rest of the race. And so they would have to eat things along the way and have hot dog trivia and all sorts of stuff. At one point, we put them on a raft and made them go across a little a tiny pond that was next to the – anyway.
Which we later found out was very much infested with muskrats.
Yeah.
If you've ever interacted with a muskrat, they're not the friendliest little pet.
Yeah. And so for you down in Louisiana, that similar to a nutria rat, I'm told. Yeah. Anyway. So that was the second night. The third night was mud volleyball. And every year, you know, we had the fire department come out and soak an area of the grounds with water and try to make this big mud pit. And we played mud volleyball. The pastor would come out and play mud volleyball with us, and we'd get in the mud, all that kind of stuff. You get the idea. And the point here is not, again, contextualize. So don't just take an event and do it the same. It doesn't matter if the point is not get a big prize. The point is not do mud volleyball. The point is creating a really, really fun event that both John Paul and I would say was attractional. We did an attractional event to get lost people in the room so that we would have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And our students knew it, and our parents knew it, and the pastor knew it, and the community knew it, and it was successful because they caught the vision of the event. And it doesn't matter if you can pull off something like that or not. The point is, think through the event, have a vision, and clearly communicate that vision to the community and to your people.
Yeah, and that communication, that is such a big deal. I'll never forget when we first started talking about Super Summer. And we said, okay, we want to do mud volleyball. Well, that means we have to dig two giant, oversized volleyball courts in the grounds at Liberty.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we found people that had connections to tractors, got permission to dig a hole in the ground.
Right. Well, and the biggest thing to me was the pastor's never going to let us do this.
Yeah.
But when you pitch a vision like that to the pastor and say, you know, we want to have like 75 first-time guests come every night. We want to have 600 kids come to this event. We want to see people saved. We want to radically change this area starting with this event. We want to teach our kids to reach lost people. When you communicate those kind of things in detail, you know, the pastor and the executive pastor just said, yeah, dig a hole.
Yeah. And then so we found the people that could do that and help us pull it off. Again, using the people around you. Helping them catch the vision of this thing. And what I want to say over and over and over to you as the listener is don't get lost in the scope of that specific event as we used it as an illustration. Don't get lost in the scope of what we did for that one thing. The main point here is that as you plan an event, if you're going to do an event, it's worth it to spend the front time to build the vision, to cast the vision. Even if you say, okay, I want to launch this new event next fall. Well, start right now and begin casting vision for that and helping your people, your students, parents, leaders, other staff members, your supervisor, help them see what you're trying to accomplish and then fit it to your context and how the Lord has gifted you and how he is guiding you to reach the community that you are in. So, five principles of event planning: communication, delegation, organization, contextualization, and then
visualization.
We'll go ahead and say that so that they're all ending in the same syllables. Syllables? Sounds?
endings?
They all end the same way. So for those of you that learn to preach according to alliteration or those kinds of – anyway, they all end the same and it sounds neat.
We're supposed to reach the Asians.
The nations.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And with that, we will come to a close on this week's episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Remember to go over to iTunes and give us a positive rating and review. We really like those 5-star ratings and a positive statement. Why? Because it helps the podcast get out there to more people so they can find the same great content, hopefully, that you find at the podcast every single week. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
See ya.